This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. Questions of international diplomacy, values, and sovereignty collided in the U.S. Senate yesterday with the rights for people with disabilities. We're going to discuss that, what happened in the Senate yesterday. Also, you'll get a chance to see and hear how people with disabilities managed to work around some prevailing social obstacles regarding language. That's later on in the program, and this is not some conversation about political correctness. You want to hear what we're talking about a little later. Also, some chilling high school memories become a graphic novel about the class clown who suddenly wasn't funny at all anymore. First, though, when the votes were counted, a majority of the U.S. Senate voted to endorse the United Nations Convention on Rights of People with Disabilities, but it wasn't enough, not a two-thirds vote for ratification.
This is an expression of American leadership throughout the world. I think an obligation that America should embrace.
But it didn't embrace it, at least in the Senate. That's Republican Senator John McCain speaking on the floor yesterday. Also, Democrat John Kerry. They both expressed disappointment that the CRPD failed to reach a two-thirds majority for ratification in the Senate. Republican commentators and lawmakers from John McCain to MSNBC's Joe Scarborough are saying today that the GOP will need to revisit this issue on moral and political grounds. In a moment, we'll speak with a Democratic lawmaker with a disability who is a leader in the House of Representatives on this issue. But first, Gabor Rona joins us, International Legal Director for Human Rights First. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Is this the old ghost of U.S. out of the U.N. from the 50s and 60s come back to haunt this particular debate in the U.S. Senate?
There's certainly a strong shade of that, but I think it's also somewhat broader. There's an increasing sense of, I think, almost delusional paranoia about international law in the United States. And the rejection of the Disabilities Convention is a perfect example. There have been complaints, fears of the UN taking control or precedence over U.S. law about how persons with disabilities are treated, and nothing can be further from the truth. There is no UN enforcement mechanism. In fact, the United States is already largely in compliance with everything that the convention would want the U.S. to do. So it merely disadvantages the United States in its relations with other countries and its ability to promote human rights abroad, as well as its ability to protect its disabled citizens when they go abroad.
How does this change, temper, modify, define the U.S. relationship with the rest of the world? More than 150 nations have ratified this treaty. Does it make any difference at all?
It does make a difference, but it does not stand alone. It's part of an unfortunate trend in which the United States is becoming increasingly an outlier from the international community on matters of international law.
Climate change, I guess, would be one example there possibly.
Climate change is a good example. Landmines ban is another example.
We have failed to ratify the Landmines Convention. There is a UN Landmines Convention, right? That the U.S.
Right.
is not a signatory on.
Perhaps the most striking example is the Convention on Children's Rights, where every country in the world is a party except the United States and Somalia. That's not the company we want to be in.
Now, is this because of some prevailing notion in the United States, or is it a procedural matter because ratification requires that two-thirds majority in the Senate, and that's always going to be difficult and will always be a forum for maybe a slightly fringe view here?
It wasn't always that way. I wouldn't say that it's a systemic problem on account of the requirement of the two-thirds majority. There has always been an element of what's considered U.S. exceptionalism, as the father of U.S. human rights, Lou Henkin, who was my law professor, said that the U.S. sees itself as more of a flying buttress to the pantheon of human rights rather than a pillar within it. So there's always been an aspect of the U.S. Standing outside, but nonetheless wanting to tell other countries what to do.
Does that impede our ability to get things done within the international community?
It certainly does, because international law is actually a way that countries communicate with each other about their mutual responsibilities, their mutual interests, their national security, the health and welfare of their citizens and their treatment of other countries' citizens. And for the U.S. to stand outside, and increasingly so stand outside this system, not only disadvantages Americans, but it disadvantages the ability of the United States to project itself as a force for human rights around the world.
So a trend you see here, and not necessarily a good one at all.
That's correct.
Gabor Rona is International Legal Director for Human Rights First, commenting on the failure to ratify the United Nations Convention on Rights for People with Disabilities. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
This is The Takeaway. The Convention on Rights for People with Disabilities, as we heard, ran into some domestic politics in the United States yesterday. Conservative senators made the case that this was not about disability rights as much as the sovereign rights of Americans being taken by an aggressive world government movement.
I do not support the cumbersome regulations and potentially overzealous international organizations with anti-American biases that infringe upon American sovereignty.
That's Republican Senator James Inhofe from Oklahoma speaking against the convention that failed by 6 votes to reach that two-thirds majority for ratification in the Senate yesterday. Joining us now is Democratic Congressman Jim Langevin of Rhode Island. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, John. Great to be on with you today.
And your reaction was, fairly typical of people with disabilities and Democrats who were endorsing the convention. Where do we go from here?
Well, first of all, I want to thank Senator John Kerry and Senator John McCain and Senator Tom Harkin and so many others, both in a bipartisan way. They got behind the UN Convention on Disabilities and voting in favor of it. Unfortunately, we didn't get the 67 votes that we needed to have their treaty ratified. But it doesn't mean that we're going to stop here. We're going to keep going, and hopefully bring it up next year. It was certainly a disappointment, and I think that the arguments that were raised against ratification by the Senate were specious at best, and it really was unfortunate. And it was certainly a big disappointment for people like myself who live with a disability, and have seen the dramatic change that the ADA has brought about in terms of it being a civil right issue and breaking down barriers and opening up doors. And that's what we're hoping to – we wanted to show leadership around the world. This is a chance for the United States to lead and show other nations around the world that we embrace the UN Treaty on People with Disabilities and the Convention on People with Rights of Disabilities, and that we wanted to truly show leadership. It was unfortunate that the measure failed.
We're talking with Democratic Congressman Jim Langevin of Rhode Island, who watched as the Senate failed to ratify the Convention on Rights for People with Disabilities that was before the Senate yesterday. What do you think the domestic political issue is here? Abortion was raised here, the question of the UN deciding what parents can or cannot do regarding homeschooling. Was this a chance for members of certain very ideological constituencies in the U.S. to use people with disabilities as a way of taking a test vote on questions of abortion?
I think that there were specious arguments that were raised that had real no merit and no relationship to the real substance of the UN Convention on the Rights of People with Disabilities. They were just used as wedge issues, specious arguments that had really no basis in fact. This wasn't going to prevent, for example, families who chose to homeschool their children. It would not prevent that from happening. Some of the arguments raised, it somehow would promote or support abortion. It would not. I'm a pro-life Democrat, and I took notice of the fact, quite frankly, when this issue was negotiated, that Right to Life groups had a seat at the table and helped negotiating the terms of this under President Bush, when the language was first worked out and was ostensibly endorsed by Right to Life groups. So, you know, the arguments that were raised were attempts by some, like Senator Sam Torum, to raise wedge issues to try to defeat this issue where the United States could have showed great leadership and helping to protect the rights of people with disabilities and breaking down barriers and opening up doors.
But I guess my question is, these wedge issues, which might have been repudiated in another forum, somehow because it's people with disabilities, it's okay, these groups are able to force the issue because it's people with disabilities. You even yourself, I believe, tweeted yesterday that the politics of paranoia have won here.
Well, and I believe that. Unfortunately, those who were able to raise some specious arguments that very weak arguments, as far as I'm concerned, they were able to scare enough senators or put really scare enough people out there, and it mobilized some of the grassroots groups that, whether it's on abortion or homeschooling or what have you, to call their senators, and they won out in terms of scaring people, scaring the senators into voting no on the issue, and that's unfortunate.
Well,
I also understand, of course, though, that there were some senators who had signed a letter that said that they shouldn't take up any treaties during the lame duck, particularly as the fiscal cliff is hanging out there, and they didn't want to be distracted by this. I think that's unfortunate. There's been other treaties, such as the Strike Treaty, that was brought up during a lame duck session that was ratified. We could have passed this, and it would have had, I think, real positive, sent a positive message around the world that we're leading in the issue of disabilities. But this is a bipartisan issue. As we saw, there were so many senators on both parties that joined together to support it. And it will be brought up again, I believe, next year. And I'm so grateful to Senator Kerry, Senator McCain, Senator Harkin for their leadership.
And Senator Kerry said it was one of the saddest days he's seen in almost 28 years in the Senate. It needs to be a wake-up call about a broken institution, describing the Senate, that's letting down the American people. That's what Senator Kerry said. After the vote, Congressman Jim Langevin of Rhode Island's 2nd Congressional District, thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much.
You know, this is one of those stories and issues that cuts close to home for me as a person with a disability. And yesterday, rather than pretend that, you know, I was completely objective and didn't matter to me either way how the Senate voted, I decided to let you know what I thought about the issue. But some of you thought I crossed the line. Rachel from Oklahoma was one. John Hockenberry became way too biased today over this topic. Regardless of the topic, hosts of public radio such as The Takeaway are expected to be unbiased and reasonable. I understand this is a personal subject for John, but if he couldn't handle it professionally, then someone else should have done the show today. I beg to differ, said MacGyver at thetakeaway.org. John stated his case right up front, so can hardly be considered biased. He shared his opinion, which is well-informed, not merely bias creeping in unannounced. But Ben in Massachusetts was left puzzled after yesterday's program. So is the bottom line that ratifying the treaty will have only a symbolic effect? Much of what he said, my guest, made it sound like the disabled were going to be sacrificed on the altar of anti-UN politics, but I'm still not entirely sure if passing it would have helped anyone or not.
John, this is Jesse Ziegler calling from New York, New York. I just had to congratulate you on that interview that I heard about the ADA, UN resolution. Unbelievable. Thank you. You just made my drive so much better. Keep fighting a good fight, buddy.
Thanks, Jesse. But all cheerleading aside, this was an issue you folks were really grappling with. Scott from Ontario, I can hardly believe many of the comments. You know, some things are worth losing your cool a little about, like human rights. I lived with an excruciating disability. Here's hoping I can let you know how I feel without losing my cool. John Hockenberry speaking now. Of course, you can do both on this or any other topic on the program. Just call us at 877-8-BY-TAKE.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.